Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Clark from the Center for Weight Loss Success. On this podcast of Doc Weight Loss, we're going to be talking to one of the primary care physicians around here, Sinclair McCracken. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. Again, this is Dr. Clark, and today on the podcast, we're going to be talking to Dr. Sinclair McCracken, who's one of the primary care physicians here in Newport News, Virginia. We've known each other for quite a while. I'm showing my age here, but she was actually a resident when I was starting out in surgery, and she's in primary care. So welcome, Sinclair McCracken. Say hello.
Hi. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, thank you very much for joining us today in the podcast. So obviously we go a ways back. Tell us a little bit about how you got started in medicine and kind of what, you know, what your goal, where are you going in life, so to speak?
Well, I have been interested in medicine for as long as I can practically remember. I grew up in Newport News and nearby in Pocosin and knew a lot of the physicians in the area and have really enjoyed learning a lot about. I remember when I was about 9 years old going to the local university with my dad, he was a professor there, and seeing my first cadaver and being excited about it, and all my sisters thought I was crazy. But it was one of my favorite things, and I actually wanted to be Quincy, which also dates me, although I did not want to look like Jack Klugman, but wanted to solve mysteries and delve into the depths of all of the different mysteries of science. So to me, medicine was fascinating and exciting, and it was great to go. I went to school at Eastern Virginia Medical School in Norfolk and grew up in this community, so I've known so many people in the area, and it's brought it full circle for me.
Right. We're glad you stayed. And now, kind of from the Quincy standpoint of all this, now we have to kind of figure out all the potential problems that people have, and now we kind of sort through those. We're not solving the mysteries of the world, so to speak, but we are working with some very common problems.
Yeah.
And as we were talking about a little earlier, obviously, you know, weight in society is a problem and affects all kinds of different things. You know, literally about two-thirds of the population in the U.S. is overweight, and about one-third is actually classified as obese, which means the body mass index over 30, and lots of different medical problems go along with this. And this is some of the things that you obviously see every single day. It's a major part of your practice. So kind of tell us a little bit about kind of some of these things, as well as kind of what your approach to them as well.
Well, weight is definitely on just about every patient's mind, whether they are overweight, obese, morbidly obese, even if they are of a normal body weight. Weight is a very important factor for self-esteem and for multiple diseases. So as they become overweight, they develop problems with arthritis, diabetes, high blood pressure. It affects every area of their life. It can also contribute to depression. And usually that's the typical patient that I will see has one or many of those issues, and weight is always a concern. Over the past 50 years or so, there have been so many changes in the American diet, in the food source, and what has been told to Americans was healthy has not truly been a very healthy dietary approach. We're having to help patients understand that what the food they ate 50 years ago is not the same food they're eating now, trying to help them understand to not be a victim of their food or their weight, but instead to be empowered to be able to lose it or to make changes that will help all these other diseases.
Right, kind of, and that is so true what you just kind of you brought up there. It's a lot of things have changed in our life, and food is probably one of the biggest ones. Is that the food that we eat and put on our table today really isn't the same food that we were probably served as we were children, and even before that, a lot of things have changed. And kind of talk, yeah, nutrition obviously is an interest you have, and kind of tell us a little bit about some of what you go with patients when you sit down and talk with them.
Usually we want to make sure they understand what is a healthy diet, and we first have them do a diet diary and have them look at their diet, because most of the time typical Americans think they are eating healthy, and they'll write a diet out of what they've eaten in the past week or even 24 hours, which many studies have shown that that's not even accurate as to what they're actually eating. However, you look at that and you say, okay, so this is what you consider to be a healthy diet. And we look, and there might be zero vegetables and fruits. There might be plenty of breads and grains, and plenty of meat sometimes. But a lot of times it's missing so many of the nutrients that we would want them to have so that they can, their body can function better, their brain can function better, and they can feel better.
And when you're sitting down with the patient, then do you try to kind of ingrain, kind of, or try to mesh into the, put these things together with the certain medical problems that they have? Because oftentimes patients won't necessarily put them together. They may realize they're kind of related, but they don't necessarily put them all together. Is that correct?
Correct. And we try to have a whole person, a whole body, mind, spirit approach to this, because of, for example, our diabetic patients, we have them do a particular type of monitoring that looks at their blood sugar for 24/7, and then we match it to their diet diary. And then they are amazed when you can see directly, this is a stressful period. It's not what you ate in this period, but it's a stressful event that raised your blood sugar, which ultimately caused more insulin, which ultimately means your weight stays on. And so being able to help them reduce stressors then helps them to maybe reduce their weight, which then helps reduce their blood pressure. And as they lose their weight, then their arthritis feels better, their depression is less, and they overall have a better sense of well-being. So we definitely kind of try to counsel them and bring it all together. But I also like to give them historical information, for example, about nutrition. There's some beautiful research done about in the 1950s, the portion size of food is one-third of the portion size of current or what's considered a normal food amount of food for Americans, for American diet. And just to tell people, in the 1950s, you would have eaten a third less. And the other information, other research that has shown since the 1970s, that 75% of the nutritional quality of the fruits and vegetables we eat has deteriorated. And so you're talking to a patient who says, well, I still eat my strawberries and my apples and my this and my that. And I say, yes, but the nutritional quality of what you're eating is still not up where it should be. So we need to work on overall understanding to make sure that even what they're eating is the best quality they can get, because it does affect them. And finances oftentimes kind of take over, and they say, well, I can't afford that. So we have to work on how to really make some changes and how to look for best purchases and how to look for best quality foods or grow some of their own foods and things like that.
Right. Just, I want to take that thought you kind of went out a little bit further as far as kind of foods now kind of not really being the same as they were kind of over, you know, over years, that things have changed. Can do you have any kind of examples of that, or what you're seeing? You mentioned some of the nutritional value of certain foods may not be the same as it was previously. And some of that, you know, it may seem somewhat obvious to us, but kind of for our listeners out there, kind of tell them a little bit about why is that?
There are many different reasons. One big reason is just the quality of the soil. The nutrients are not in the soil, and so then the plant, for example, fruits and vegetables, can't get that back into them. And so then the person consumes the fruit that doesn't have the nutrition from the beginning, from the soil. Another reason is because of genetically modified foods, for various reasons that, you know, your strawberries are made to be bigger and prettier, and sweeter, but they may not have as much nutritional value. Same thing with blueberries. They're sweeter. They're wonderful foods. They're antioxidants. So you have to, you know, if you have to choose between blueberries and Twinkies, you know, blueberries are a better choice. However,
they don't just keep as long, though, as Twinkies.
That's true. Twinkies and Pop-Tarts, I think, will keep forever. And there are plenty of other incidences. One, in the 1980s, our food was enriched with, our bread products were enriched with iodine, and a lot of people maintained their normal iodine, or at least almost normal, because the bread products were enriched with iodine. And then it was taken out, and they became enriched with bromide because it gave our bread products a longer shelf life. Bromide takes the place of iodine in all your cells, and then your cells don't function right. And you think the Twinkies that you're eating now are the same, although now they're made somewhere else. But they actually don't give you enough as much iodine as they did in the 70s as they do now. They don't give as much as they did in the 70s now. So that's one thing.
That is something that directly, I'm glad you brought that up. That wasn't something we were really planning on talking about, but this is something when I talk to people about thyroid status, and I'm sure you do the same thing, is that we don't get nearly the amount of iodine as we used to get, and we can't survive without iodine. I mean, your thyroid can't work normally without plenty of iodine, so I think that's what, it is a big problem there, just from, you know, one mineral right there, is that we don't get enough iodine, and that can affect a lot of things, because if your thyroid's not working well, which is really the overall driver of our overall metabolism, it's like, boy, it's not too surprising that we struggle a little bit with other things. So that's just one little example that you gave, and I'm glad you bring that up. That just, I find that totally interesting, and something that we, as physicians, this isn't something that we're normally taught in medical school. This are things that we've kind of gone out and we've either had an interest in or research on our own, and we slowly learn these things, but it usually isn't something that's in all of our meetings and things like that. So I applaud you for that. That's I love that. So anyway, I kind of interrupted you.
Well, I was laughing because I know that I've worked with some medical students recently, and I asked them, what are you being taught about thyroid these days and iodine? And they were taught that the amount of iodine you receive in iodized salt is sufficient, that we only need it for our thyroid and only need it to not have what's called cretinism, which is mental retardation or deficiency in when you're pregnant in your fetus. And there are reams of literature that go beyond that, but that's current standard medical education. Every cell in your body needs thyroid, and there are different new ways to test and be able to tell if you don't have enough iodine and how to replace it so that your cells actually function better. In our office, we have developed a whole we see a lot of thyroid patients, the thyroid patients that haven't gotten better before. And so we work with a lot of them, and nutrition is so important. There's a lot of information on gluten right now, that gluten, the gluten molecule, for example, if you make antibodies and have an autoimmune disorder against your thyroid, the molecule is similar to gluten, that you're going to make antibodies against gluten, and therefore you should take that out of your diet. And you'll hear so much different information, but the literature is there to support it. And even to the point where a thyroid patient that takes gluten out of their diet has to heal their gut and their small intestine and heal the lining. And their thyroid medicine dose will decrease maybe up to 50% because of that, because they don't need as much, because their body's not having an inflammatory response against it. So there's a lot of information. It goes on up the food chain, up to the genetically modified foods that affect us without us realizing they've been changed. We think they're just bigger and sweeter and prettier, when actually they are causing inflammation in our small intestine and creating a lot of autoimmune disorders. When we make dietary changes for patients, it is dramatic a lot of times in their autoimmune disorders or other issues that inflammatory type response reactions that they have, skin disorder.
That is absolutely correct. Kind of, and the other thing you might mention, the genetically modified foods, but also just the processing of foods. You know, I guess, and you and I are probably on the same wavelength here. The best foods have no labels, and you get them fresh and you make them yourself. But reality is, for many people, and me included, I'll throw myself in there once in a while, is that we don't necessarily take the time to, so we end up eating a lot of processed foods. And this can become a real problem over time too, can't it?
It absolutely can. We, in the past year, we have done a special program with our patients, a 12-week program that included things like each week they had to do something different, take all the sugars out of their food, look at labels, just to start to read the labels. And the deal with that was they had to make sure that their grandmother would recognize every ingredient on the label, and that it could have no more than 5 ingredients. Then they started looking at GMOs and starting to recognize what GMOs were and starting to look at different things and adding in exercise and adding in just awareness. Most people are not aware. They think they're doing well with their diet and exercise. And they, by American standards, they're doing well, but by nutritional health, whole person, whole body, mind, spirit standards, they are not. And they're just not aware of it.
Right. I think, you know, a lot of the times, you know, there are a couple different levels when we talk about, you know, from weight management to really health management, is first you have to kind of truly understand what are the right things to do, and then you have to figure out how to do those things. And those are really two different things there.
Yes.
And you brought that up very nicely there.
So a lot of times bringing patients awareness, I know several patients, when we bring it up and say, okay, you know, you're going to have to work on changing your diet, because when you take this out of your diet, it's going to be the equivalent of a blood pressure medicine or a diabetes medicine. And at some point, it's kind of like trying to talk someone into quitting smoking. They say, I can't do that. I can't take bread out. I can't take grains out, or wherever they are in the whole process. I don't eat any vegetables. And so you're trying to just get them to eat one, you know. And so this whole process of preparing them and preparing them mentally, psychologically, physically, and really empowering them to say, we're helping you, but that there's a whole team of support. And that brings me to just the point about your office, is your office has such a great team of support. And we have shared patients now for 20 years, I think. And so that dates both of us. And it has been a wonderful partnership, because I know that the success of your practice is so well grounded on the support team that you have, that it's not just weight loss. It is the whole body, mind, spirit part of the person that is addressed. And you have such a great and wonderful team to work with. And I really enjoy that.
Well, thank you very much. That was an unsolicited support there. We really appreciate that. We try, because, you know, I guess I always try to give people that message that health and weight especially, it's not a project. This isn't a project. There's not an endpoint. Projects have endpoints to them. There's really no endpoint to kind of weight management and health management. Mm-hmm. It's something we have to work on forever, so it's really more of a process. It's a process we work on, and sometimes we do better and sometimes we do worse, and sometimes we learn new things that, hey, we could try this and it may help us. And so it's a never-ending process that we go through.
Right. It's definitely an evolution, but just being able to help patients deal with their weight in a healthy way and keeping it in perspective, because so many people have so many issues that surround their weight, whether overweight, underweight, but especially overweight, because our culture puts a lot of pressure on people. There are so many studies on how being overweight affects your income. Your income is less. There are studies that show that the more you weigh, the less your income is. Lots of different information about that. And so it affects people's self-esteem and confidence, and their fears. They have a lot of fear about it, about what it brings and the diseases and heart attacks and strokes that may come in the future because of it. And they're afraid to address it. So having support around them to say, you're not alone, this is a difficult process, but it's not impossible. And we want to make it possible that you can achieve not just a goal or a single goal, but you know, once they achieve a certain weight loss goal, that then they have other goals, other lifetime goals that are part of that because of now having more confidence. It is amazing to see the confidence when people lose weight. They are suddenly empowered that they can not only lose weight, they can do anything. And that has been beautiful to see that type of thing when people do lose weight.
All right. Well, that was wonderful to hear. That's almost kind of, let's wind up on that type of point there. So I'm going to throw a little something at you there. If you had kind of like one, two, or three little kind of tidbits or hot topics or hot things that you could tell, here's my best advice for you to kind of get started on this, what would it be?
If I had three things to pick, because I remember in medical school, they said at least if you only tell three things, they might remember one and maybe they'll implement that one. So my three things would be movement of some sort. We all feel like as Americans, we are driven and we feel like we can't stop being driven, that we have to exercise till we sweat and all of this. So my point on that would be move. You can walk, you can lift your arms and lift your legs if you can't get out of a chair, but at least move for one half an hour a day minimum. That's the equivalent of a starting dose of blood pressure medicine, starting dose of diabetes medicine, antidepressant medication, and those are all legitimate studies that have been well founded that say half an hour of movement makes a difference. It also just increases your sense of well-being by increasing your endorphins, helps offset depression, many other things. So movement, half an hour of just moving. Even if you just like to dance in the kitchen, that's movement. So playing your favorite video game, if it involves movement, that's wonderful. The second would be eat. The goal is to eat. It's amazing to realize it's 10 fruit servings of fruits and vegetables a day for adults, 5 to 7 for children. But even if you can get one serving of fruit and or vegetable with each meal or at least something every day and shoot towards that goal, fruits and vegetables, organic whenever you can. If you can only afford one organic peach and 20 non-organic apples, you're better to eat that one organic peach. But if you can't, then some fruit or vegetable is beneficial. And then the third thing would be some form of either meditation or prayer or stress management. There have been these beautiful studies that show that writing down three things that you are grateful for every day can enhance your health, lower your blood pressure, lower your stress, which lowers your cortisol, which then can also help with your weight and your blood pressure and your diabetes or many other things. Joint pains are often associated with the stress. So movement, fruits and vegetables, and some form of meditation or prayer would be my three top recommendations.
All right, that was wonderful. Claire, thank you very much for kind of meeting with us. I do want you to give all our listeners out there your contact information, because if someone is looking for someone, a primary care physician that can help them, kind of that whole body type of evaluation, this would be a great place to go. So please give them the contact information.
Sure. My name is Sinclair McCracken, and I am located at 704 Thimble Shoals Boulevard, Suite 600A in Newport News, Virginia. And my phone number is 757-595-5001. I do have a Facebook page, which is listed under Sinclair B. McCracken, MD, and has lots of our health tips. Our whole practice works towards wholeness and health and well-being, and so that's our contact information.
All right. Well, very good. So that was Sinclair B. McCracken, MD, for your Facebook page.
Yes.
And then she's in Newport News, Virginia, Thimble Shoals. I used to have an office over there in Thimble Shoals as well, so it's Newport News. You should be able to find her. If anyone is struggling finding her, we'd be happy to point you in the right direction as well. Thank you, all your listeners. Thank you, Dr. McCracken. if anyone out there wants more information from us, our corporate website is cfwls.com. If they're interested in just some of the webcasts that I do, the webinars every single week, Losing Weight USA is out there. Go to losingweightusa.com. You'll have access to me every single week, as well as tips, handouts, recipes each week. And for those of you out there listening, and I want to thank you, we'll see you and hear you. We'll hear from you. You'll hear from me on the next podcast. And remember, it's your life. Make it a healthy one. Goodbye, everyone. Take care.